The following broadcast of Sioux Valley Voice was recorded earlier. You will not be able to call in during the next hour. To listen to this or any other episode of Sioux Valley Voice, visit us online at ktna.org. The next live broadcast of Sioux Valley Voice will be on Wednesday, September 16th, with Mat-Su Borough Assembly candidates Doyle Holmes and Randall Kowalki. You're listening to KTNA 88.9 FM Talkeetna, streaming from ktna.org. I'm Philip Manning. This is Sioux Valley Voice. With the Mat-Su Borough elections coming up, we've been speaking to candidates running to represent the Upper Valley on the Mat-Su Borough Assembly and as borough mayor. Today, my guest is current assembly member and mayoral candidate Vern Halter. We'll be discussing issues facing the borough and taking your calls. The number to call if you want to join the conversation is 733-1200. Or you can email dj@ktna.org. Vern Halter, thank you for joining me.
Well, good morning, Philip. It's nice to be here.
So you've obviously not a stranger to regular listeners of KTNA in your current role as borough assembly member.
No, I've been up here quite a few times on the radio with you and always enjoy it. And I'm here in person again today. And I'd like to say hello to our Trapper Creek friends and all the way out to Squintna and Caswell down to the Y. And so sitting there, we have a big area, you know, Chase, all the way north up to Broad Path. So hello, good morning, everybody.
So just to, but in case there are folks who are not familiar with you, let's just get started with tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Well, I'm a South Dakota farm boy. Grew up on a farm, of course, went to high school, graduated from the University of South Dakota. I was a first lieutenant in U.S. Army for 2 years. I went back to law school and graduated from law school. And then came up to Alaska right out of law school almost 38 years ago now. And a lot of people don't realize this, but I've been a dog musher, Yukon Quest champion, and a Iditarod racer for years. But I was a law clerk for Judge Roy Matson out in Kodiak Island. That was one of my first jobs. And then I was a magistrate district court judge in the Alaska State Court System out in Dutch Harbor in Alaska, and a public defender attorney, too. So I've had a mixture of being a lawyer and judge along with the following the Alaska State Sport.
Right. And you haven't run the Iditarod for the past few years, but your team has.
Yes, we always have a dog team. And I'm retired myself personally, but I had a great gal in the race last year, Cindy Abbott, who got the Red Lantern, but she was running for NORD, the National Organization of Rare Diseases, of which she has one. So, you know, and then last year's race was really tough, 35 to 50 below zero the whole way. And she toughed it out and finished, so we were pretty proud of her.
Okay, great. So why you've now termed out, or you will be terming out as a Mat-Su Borough Assembly member, so you couldn't run for your current seat again. And, you know, at various points when I've spoken to you over the last couple of years, you've expressed gratitude and joy that you would be terming out as the Mat-Su Borough Assemblyman for District 7. So why now run for mayor?
Well, I am termed out. It's 2 3-year terms, right? and on the assembly, which I've totally enjoyed. I had 3 years on the planning commission prior to that, so really I feel very comfortable with borough issues now with the 3 terms or the 2 terms on the assembly. You know, you're dealing with the budget. I remember my first time or two with the budget, my first years on the assembly was a kind of a daunting task, but now I feel very comfortable looking at the numbers and knowing all the departments and the enterprise funds and so I think I have the experience to be mayor, and so I did decide to run for mayor, and we'll see what happens. But I definitely do want to be mayor of the Mat-Su Borough.
Okay, so let's talk then about priorities. So you mentioned things like the enterprise fund budget, stuff like that. The borough is potentially looking at some fiscal issues, just like the state is at this point, of a somewhat different nature, but definitely still there. And, you know, right now we're looking at a situation where all of the borough's enterprise funds, and an enterprise fund is something that's not funded by the general fund budget, but is meant to support itself. Things like Talkeetna Sewer and Water, Solid Waste Division, the Port McKenzie, and the MV Susitna. Now, regular listeners will know that all 4 of those are currently in the red, some very deeply in the red. And with state revenue sharing declining, what are the budget priorities for you if you were to become Matsubara mayor?
Well, first of all, the enterprise funds, the Talkeetna Sewer and Water is not an enterprise fund. That's a service area. So it's a service area like a fire service area or a road service area. It's a smaller, different, distinct body. So it's not an enterprise fund. The biggest enterprise fund we have is the landfill, of course, and that's based on user. So when you're thinking about revenue, it's user fees, not a tax,
right,
to fund an enterprise fund. So and the landfill rates, you know, we did increase them on the budget this year, which caused a lot of feedback from people that they went too high too quick. So I had rollback legislation, and it did pass. It brought them back down, especially the pickup loads went back down to a reasonable amount from way up at 44. So,
right.
But the general priorities of the borough, the ones that are really important for me, first of all, schools. It's our function and our mission as a Matsu borough to adequately fund our school systems. And very interesting numbers just came out. We had a joint school board assembly meeting last night. The school district was thinking we were going to have about 350 to 400 new students this year. It came in at 660.
Wow.
So a huge increase in the number of students, which means there's more families moving into the borough. So we just opened Joe Reddington Senior High School a month ago, had the grand opening ribbon cutting. That school was built for 600 kids, 600 students, 700. So look, we almost have to build another school just to meet. So of course, they're spread out.
Right.
And a third of them came from out of the state, a third of them came from Anchorage, and a third of them came into our borough from outside, in Alaska, but outside the borough.
Somewhere else, yeah.
So quite a significant number. So that's our number one mission, EMS fire. Right in the top there is as your highest priorities, roads. Of course, we do roads with service areas, and then we just had our huge road bond that we're completing up a fifth year of that. Those are our libraries. I shouldn't forget libraries because, you know, we have a new library here in Talkeetna that was essential that the borough helped fund that along with the state of Alaska, along with the Rasmussen Foundation. So there was a partnership to do those type of projects. So those are really our big ones. And every time we seem to get off mission, like the ferry, or we get off mission on something else, is when we seem like we get in a little bit over our heads.
Right. And we were talking just before we went on air that it's possible. There's talk in the air, very official sounding talk, that the MV Susitna may soon be departing company with the Matsu Borough.
Well, Mr. Moosey, our manager, did have a proposal in that they'd sell it to the Philippine Red Cross. It's a real good shot to make this sale now because we're talking about there's numbers in $750,000 deposit and they would advance $250,000 to combine with our insurance to fix the engines that were hurt in that rain episode back in the spring,
right?
And so it's really a bona fide. The only thing I worry about is you still have to have federal approval to sell to a foreign entity, and so we still have to get federal approval,
right?
And that's sometimes you think that's going to happen really quickly, but it doesn't happen as quick as you'd like. And I guess on my 6 years in assembly, the most frustrating thing has been MZ Susitna.
Well, right. I mean, I remember a few months back, you were one of the ones who was entertaining the idea of just melting it down, basically, just to stop the bleeding.
You hear the word scrap, but there's revenue coming in because on that. But the boat hasn't. We haven't been able to sell it to any buyer, whether it be an oil company, whether it be a commercial or private commercial, any foreign company, it just hasn't been able to be sold.
Right. Well, and I know initially the priority was to try to get it to another government entity so that those FTA grants could be transferred, the $12 million in grants.
Nothing worked.
Yeah.
So now we're down to the final, this sale hopefully will go through. We still will have to negotiate something with the federal government about the $12 million grant money. Hopefully that'll be negotiated down to a reasonable amount. And, of course, the sale proceeds will apply to that and move on.
Okay. And then the maintenance cost, the ongoing maintenance cost, if that were to go through, would then, of course, go away.
The maintenance cost, it actually, part of this sale was to pick up some of the maintenance costs in the interim while the sale is pending.
Right, right. So, you know, you mentioned as your priorities, schools, fire, EMS, roads, kind of the basic.
Right.
Services. So let's talk a little bit about those. But before we do that, my guest today is Matsu Borough Assembly Member and mayoral candidate Vern Halter. If you want to join the conversation, the number to call is 733-1200 or you can send an email to dj@ktna.org. So let's talk about schools. You said, you know, Joe Reddington's just opened, and the number of capacity there is borough-wide, at least, already been, you know, accounted for.
Right.
So with the state in a position now where bonds and things like that are not necessarily going to be matched at the state level the way that they have been in the past, how does the borough look going forward to potentially build new schools without that level of state support?
Well, yeah, our original bonding, you know, the $214 million that we passed in 2011, that was a 70-30 match with the state. And, of course, the state's honoring, you know, sometimes you hear that, you know, so we're past bonds that have been approved by the voters that are subject now. The match should apply.
The existing ones.
The existing ones should apply. And the same thing with the road bonds, 50-50. So they should apply. And I'm sure the state will honor their agreements to match those bonds. Now, future bonds.
Mm-hmm.
The state did put a moratorium on, like, if we're going to run a school bond or a road bond, they're not going to match it for a period of 5 years because of the fiscal uncertainty that the state's facing.
Right.
So we all know that. Anchorage did, the Anchorage School District did put a bond on their ballot
right
this spring, knowing that they weren't going to have a 70-30 pass, a match, and it did pass by a fairly, I think it was 54-5%. So if we were going to do that, we would have to. And I don't think the assembly at this point in time is ready to put a bond in front of the voters.
Hmm.
I don't think we're on the roads or the schools. So don't mistake what I'm saying.
Okay, but this is just potentially.
This is potential. If we do, if you do go that direction in the next 5 years, you know there's not going to be a match because
right.
they told you there's not a match, and that's the way it is with the state. Now, if the fiscal uncertainty solves itself or gets better, oil prices go up, and or there's new revenues to the state,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm sure this legislature is going to have to face that. That, you know, that's the thing. When you go down to Juneau, cut, 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 cut.
Mm.
Sometimes you hear that, but at a certain point in time, you have to increase revenues. And I think this legislature has to look at, you know, permanent fund, has to look at other sources of income to offset this debt that they're in.
Mm.
And so it's going to be quite a, you know that part of the reason I'm running for mayor is because I think kind of a united front from the Mat-Su, the cities, city of Houston, the city of Wasilla, city of Palmer, along with the Mat-Su borough, if we're all on the same page and presenting ourselves with our needs for our schools, our needs for our roads, and things like that, we'll be much better off. The fiscal uncertainty, we have to talk about that. You know, we have to, and, you know, Governor Walker has a plan. I went to his forum this summer where it's just been about a month or 5 or 6 weeks ago where he had the revenue commissioner there speaking about how they'd like to solve this dilemma. So very interesting. They had a mix of cuts plus new revenue.
Right.
And,
there's David Teal, the legislative finance director for the nonpartisan agency there, has essentially told the legislature point blank that even if you were to cut every single state employee,
right.
just based on existing obligations to Medicaid and to education, all the current money, annual money, would be gone.
Right.
you could have the governor. I think that the turn of phrase was you could have the governor sitting in an office with a pencil and a coffee cup, and you'd still be in debt. And that was your entire state staffing. So we do have a caller on the line. Let me get that hooked up here. So G. Denny, are you there?
I am. Hey, Volpe. Hey, Vern. Hey, I got a really tough question, and from your intro, I thought you were the guy to ask, Mr. Halter. And you said you'd served in the military, and you got a legal background. And there's this kind of a confusion. It has to do with chain of command and volunteerism and who works for who and what constitutes subordination or insubordination. So I wonder how we as citizens fit into that as far as a lot of the Board of Supervisors, the borough relies quite a bit on volunteerism. And there is some component of paid volunteerism. There are also people in management positions that have a military background and are most familiar with chain of command. I was wondering if you could kind of clear that up for us. Do we work for you or do you work for us?
Is this in reference to emergency services?
Very well could be.
Okay.
Well,
and I'll take your answer off the phone because this costs me money.
All right, okay. Thanks for calling in.
Well, yeah, thank you for calling in. Who works for whom on that situation? You have volunteers working for the EMS and the fire system here in Talkeetna, responding to calls. You have borough employees that are running the EMS and fire for the Mat-Su borough. And, of course, at certain times you have a clash of probably personalities and probably procedure. And this incident that happened recently in Talkeetna was one of those ones that brings forward just exactly those type of circumstances. Mm. You know, and fortunately, I think they have a mediator now who's, you know, both parties are talking to and trying to work through the differences. And I guess to me personally, Vern Halter speaking, to have a strong EMS fire system locally is the product that you want to achieve. You know, when you're dealing with EMS and fire, EMS, you know, somebody's hurt badly in a car accident or something like that, the response has to follow certain procedures. And the same thing with an accident, moving vehicles and things like that, there's protocol. So that we have volunteers following protocol, but keeping that individuality, each community is kind of important to me too. And so I am glad to see that that they have a mediator and they're talking amongst themselves, because right off the bat, it was like the fire department were shutting down and things like that, which are probably unacceptable. So I'm hoping they could reach a calm and they could reach a point where the EMS and fire will grow and get better here in Talkeetna.
Well, and, you know, it dovetails into the next priority you had mentioned, which was fire and EMS, emergency services borough-wide. And part of the conversation that came about, just in case listeners out there aren't quite familiar with what's happening, there was a dispute over when a responder is and is no longer considered a borough responder and on duty, as opposed to, because they are on-call volunteer. It's kind of a strange... It's hard to explain exactly how the system works, but during the discussion at the Susitna Community Council meeting last Thursday, it became very clear that this was, in fact, the words of Captain Eric Chappell were verbatim, it was the last straw, and that there's a lot of borough-wide issues, recruitment and retention, talk about benefits and hours, and you know, just a few months ago, there was a big shakeup at emergency services at the borough level. So going forward with new people in charge, with Bill Gamble now in charge at emergency services, replacing Dennis Brodigan, who retired, where does that need to go? And what role, with a weak mayoral system, what role does the mayor, does the assembly play as opposed to the manager in that?
Well, the assembly, first of all, right, they have to watch the budgets. Each individual fire service area is going to be budgeted through that fire service area. And then, of course, the EMS is going to be area-wide funding. And the gentleman asked me, you know, he mentioned my military. You know, when I was in the military, at a certain point in time, I mean, there was a couple times there were some orders that I didn't like. I mean, I could tell you that right now. But, you know, the protocol in the military was the subordinate followed what the boss said, the commander above you. So... I understand that fully. But at a certain point in time, too, I think the relationship with the borough employees versus the volunteers, I think we have to have more and better communication at the local level. And I'd like to see that come about here in Talkeetna. Because I think I don't think this incident was just an isolated one. I think this has been building for a year or two. And so I'd like to see us get back on track with more communication, more time spent up here in Talkeetna. I have a lot of respect for Bill Gamble. He cut his teeth fighting the Miller's Reach fire many, mm-hmm. 20 years ago when he was a young man. And you can see how professional he is. He helped rebuild the Big Lake, Meadow Lakes fire departments when they were very fractionalized and a lot of frustration and friction there. They combined them, and I've watched them grow into one of the most professional units there is. And so my advice to Bill, I'm not his boss. John Moosey is his boss. The mayor is not the boss of Bill Gamble.
Mm-hmm.
The assembly calls the shots. That's how this government works down there.
Right.
But my wish would be for better communication, work out the local problems, I'm glad to see everybody's back talking.
Right.
Both Eric Chappell and Eric Dinkwelter and Ken Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
who I know was at the scene that night, and there were some hard feelings.
Right, and Ken Barkley's the deputy director.
Deputy director, so you know, so I'm hoping we could get this going again, and everybody understands what the procedures are, the correct procedures, how to follow them, and let's move forward.
Okay, so it sounds like communication there.
Communication
is the big thing.
Is going to be a big one.
So if you want to join our conversation, the number to call is 733-1200 or email dj@ktna.org. My guest today is Vern Halter, current borough assembly member and candidate for Mat-Su Borough Mayor. So let's move on to the third priority you mentioned, which is roads, and we'll expand that to infrastructure in general, because there are, you know, there's obviously the day-to-day road maintenance, mm-hmm. you know, the borough works off system of road service areas, but beyond that, there's this involves the state to a large extent, there's things like the problems with congestion and frankly danger on the Glen Highway. And there's the issue of, you know, I thankfully don't have to deal with that very much living up here in the Upper Valley. But there's, with the borough continuing to grow, you know, there's going to be a need in the near future for some not only maintenance but expansion of infrastructure. And there's a few options there. One of them is the Kinnick Arm Crossing, mm-hmm. which is never really left the table, I guess, but was put on hold for a little while by the governor, at least as far as spending any money. There's also and this isn't necessarily commuter infrastructure, but the rail spur, Port McKenzie rail spur, which you have spoken in favor of pretty much every time I've had you on the show, actually, and at borough assembly meetings. What is the biggest infrastructure priority for the borough right now?
Well, you got to finish the rail spur project first, because the rail spur project, it's an ongoing project. You know, there's millions and millions of dollars. And first of all, for the listeners, this is all state money. There's not, your property taxes are not going to fund the rail spur. And actually, there's a good argument that the money coming from the state reduces your property taxes, because 5% of it's administrative and goes into our general fund. But that project is ongoing. I was just down. They had a fire down there. You know, we had a fire down by Sheep Creek 10 mm-hmm. days ago, mm-hmm. a quick, bad one. And we had another one down Miller's Reach.
Right.
I was able to drive down segment five, which they're building on, quality asphalt, building it right now. And that's what blocked that fire from crossing over. Because if that thing would have got rolling through Horseshoe Lake, they'd have never got to stop, because the winds were 35 miles an hour mm-hmm. that night. But that segment's got to be finished, and there's two or three more segments finished. And then, of course, you got to put the rails on to get this to the port. And the eventual byproduct of the rail spur is to be moving product both directions, which will be a commercial product. And, of course, you will have taxation mm-hmm. that will help offset the residential property taxes. And it's a slow, tough process building the port and building this rail spur. And, you know, we're going to have to do some innovative thinking to get this funded now. We just sent a letter to the governor last night. It was just approved by the assembly. Our top priorities for the governor to think about putting it in the governor's budget was the rail spur, was the septic and sewage in the Mat-Su Borough, because that's a big one.
Right.
And two or three other projects that Seward Meridian, which is a huge project, north-south mm-hmm. type routing coming off the Parks Highway you mentioned down there. And so those priorities will go into the governor to see if he'll put them in the governor's budget. The rail spur was number one.
Okay. And that's, I mean, there seems to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, there does seem to be consensus on the assembly. Pretty much everybody I've talked to is very much in favor of the rail spur's completion.
I think it's dead set unanimous. And so including the mayor, the current mayor, including myself when I'm mayor, It's unanimous.
And that's not necessarily a very common thing to see in Palmer.
It's not very common. But you were talking about the broader issue of roads in general.
Right.
And, you know, you have our service areas up here, which, so the local road service area board, working with the borough staff, they budget and pay for the maintenance. You have maintenance contractors.
And that's part of your
mill rate. Each road service area sets their own mill rate, which is eventually approved by the assembly. Then the broader picture of roads that we need built, arterials and collectors to support, like the Glen and Parks Highway, which are state projects. That was our road bond. And, of course, that was a huge one. We did the Selden mm-hmm. Selden Extension, which is the Beverly Lakes Road, just opened 10 days ago,
right,
Bristol Construction. That was a New Road East-West, and we're trying to figure out what we're going to name that now, because it's Beverly Lakes, Selden, Bogart. It's got four or five names now.
Just because of all the roads that got connected.
Exactly, so maybe we'll have a name this corridor. And then we had the East, that's an East-West corridor. And then we had the North-South, so you had Hawk Lane going by Houston High School. Then you had Vine, which we upgraded. That Vine was so deadly. And so we upgraded and widened that. And then you'll notice going right by church, right by the Menard Sports Complex, down to Clap, all the way to KGB, that's being constructed as we speak. So that's the north-south. And then if you go right up by the hospital interchange, Trunk Road, you see all the construction to the right now. That is the new Trunk South going down to McIntyre School. And so when that gets completed, so we've really improved our arterials and collectors with that road bond 50-50 match. And, you know, the current mayor vetoed that bond package. And fortunately, we were able to override that veto. So that was 14 big projects to improve. And it is core area. But we did the Caswell Lake Roads. We did a stretch in Willow, Maud Road over outside of Palmer. And right now, my way of thinking, we've got to get DOT moving and do the Parks Highway out to, you know, get that construction going out the Big Lake Turnoff.
Right.
Phase one goes to Pittman. Phase two goes out there. That is I think that's the deadliest stretch next to KGB.
Right around Mile 52. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, there was a major accident there involving two local folks here, one from Talkeetna, one from Trapper Creek.
There's been 10, 15 deaths on that in the last decade. And then KGB going south, the same thing. It's one of the deadliest highways there is. If it's not the deadliest highway in the state of Alaska right now, is KGB, and then the park's going west. And so those, we got to get the DOT moving on those. And then all our collectors and arterials. You know, and we probably won't be able to sit still with our population base growing the way it is. If you have 600 new students, you know, that's 1,200 parents, that's housing, that's growth. It's amazing. So you got to have your infrastructure back it up.
Right. So we do have, we're going to take a break here in just a couple of minutes, but the number to call if you want to join our conversation with Mattsu Borough Assemblymember and mayoral candidate Vern Halter, the number is 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org. And it looks like there is a call coming in right now. So, before we hit the break, let's talk a little bit about the Kinnick Arm Crossing. And that's, you know, that's a project that has kind of come and gone as far as prominence and priority and funding, and now it's in a federal loan process, the TIFIA loan process, which the legislature is going to require before anything else happens. How do you see that as a critical project, or is that something that can wait?
Well, it's one of these projects that I think a lot of people can remember back in the 1960s and 1970s, people are already talking about the Kinnick Arm Bridge. If you really look at it physically, from geography, and you look at access to Anchorage, just coming in the Glen Highways are our only access right now. So this this would give you a secondary access to the north. It would be a commercial access, really, all your bus traffic, all your heavy trucks, and all the movement, because that's really the mission of the Parks Highway is to move goods and materials north, really, if you talk to DOT. So this would be a more direct route. And when you're standing on our port, Port McKenzie, and you're looking, actually, our elevation's higher than Anchorage, so you're kind of looking down on Anchorage. You know, and you could just see it's a natural place for a bridge. And the TIFIA loan is critical. It's at a juncture where if the federal government were to improve to pass that loan, this bridge project would move. And so the assembly did pass unanimously a resolution to support the needs or to support the TIFIA loans at the federal level. And we sent a copy out to Washington. We sent a copy to the governor, and we'll see what happens with that.
Okay. Well, we do have another caller on the line, but we are just about at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a quick break here at the bottom of the hour. We'll come right back to the caller on the line right now. You're listening to Sioux Valley Voice on KTNA 88.9 FM Talkeetna. My guest today is Mattsu Borough Assemblymember and mayoral candidate Vern Halter, and we'll be back in just a minute with the second half of the show. Thank you. And we're back. My guest today is Mat-Su Borough Assemblymember and candidate for mayor, Vern Halter. We've been discussing some issues facing the borough and taking your calls. We do have a caller on the line, Ruth, here in Talkeetna. Ruth, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, great. So I just wanted to ask Vern to talk a little bit about community, because borough has been growing so tremendously, both in the core area and up here. But most everybody that came to the borough came because of our rural lifestyle, and we recognize that we have to have better roads and more schools. But community is still very, very important, and I think that sometimes the borough seems to be moving away from that. So I just wanted to get Vern's ideas or thoughts on, you know, the people who live here, the community, how he would support them.
Okay, so maintaining that rural community identity while in a growing borough environment.
Well, that's a major question, major concern. You know, first of all, District 7, you know, the one I'm most familiar with, and even out east of Palmer, we have the rural school, Sutton, mm-hmm. you know, and Butte and Fairview and things like that. You know, I when the population is growing, keeping your basics though, like what's important to each community, I think is probably what the borough should work on. And the advisory committees that we have, like the fire boards, the road boards, keeping them local, keeping those people diverse. You know, if I was mayor, you know, the planning commission, I'd like to see a woman appointed to the planning commission. There hasn't been a woman on the planning commission for years now. And things like that, I think, are important. You got to capture the spirit of the communities. And the community councils, I think, do a great job in District 7. I think they, as general, they do well in the borough. And I think we ought to listen to them more. I think we ought to, and I mean, I'm speaking from the assembly standpoint. Mm-hmm. We ought to listen to what the community councils are saying. I think we ought to give them notices on important issues more often and give them time so that they can have their meetings and give input on important things more often. You know, we had an assembly meeting in Willow. I'd like to see more of that
during the budget process.
During the budget process, and so I mean, listening to the communities and really what their needs are at a closer level would be really important to me as mayor. The assembly's got to make decisions, but having that input, it's quite a drive down there. You know, I drive from Willow to the assembly meetings. I got home last night. Even though that assembly meeting got out early. Last week I got home at 1:30 a.m. So from the Northern Valley, it's really tough.
Right. Well, more borough assembly meetings in Willow would mean a shorter drive for you.
You know, but to me, when you hear a community council address an issue, whether it's in writing, whether it's by email or testifying, that usually it represents the community to me. Mm. And hopefully the democratic process where they're having their meetings and they're open and their people can come in. And quite honestly, a lot of people don't attend these meetings, and that's just fine too. But a certain group needs to watch the issues in their community and present it to the assembly.
Well, I can say from personal experience that a growing number of people are attending the meetings here in the Upper Valley. So
usually, when you have controversial issues, your numbers go up really quickly, and then it goes back to normalcy. Which there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Well, thank you for the call, Ruth. And if you'd like to call in as well, the number is 733-1200, or we'll take emails at dj@ktna.org. So, you know, we ended talking about the Kinnickarm Crossing. We've been talking a lot about infrastructure projects. I'd like to shift gears a little bit and talk about other issues on the ballot, on the October 6th ballot. There are three assembly seats, including the one that you're vacating. There are three school board seats, and then there are two ballot questions borough-wide, and then one specific to the Talkeetna Flood Service area. So one of the questions on the ballot is about changing the way that the school board is elected.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, all seven seats are at large. Doesn't matter where you live in the borough. You can be elected to the school board. All seven can be from Palmer. All seven could potentially be from Talkeetna. The proposal is to change that so it's districted like the assembly. What do you think about that?
Well, the good thing is it's going in front of the voters, so you know people will be able to vote on that system. You know, it works for the planning commission. When I was a planning commissioner, it was District 7 planning commissioner.
Right.
It works for the assembly. We have districts. You know, right now there's quite a diverse group on the assembly, even though that they're, you know, they could come from one place, like you said.
Right. We do actually have a Talkeetna resident on the board right now.
Dr. Donna Dierman, who is a great one, very well considered. And she, you know, she'd be running in District 7 if this were to pass. And I'm sure that she would do fine and represent the area. So just let the voters decide that one.
Okay. And then the other question is moving the election date. Currently, the borough elections take place in October. And the initiative would be to move that to line them up with the federal and state elections, almost always the first Tuesday in November.
Right. But every second year.
Yeah.
And I really like the fact that the borough has its own separate election date. Anchorage does the same thing. They actually, I think, moved it once and then moved it back. Our issues are a little bit different. If we have bond issues on there and things like that, our elections are personal. They should be nonpartisan. I think when you switch over to the state, it gets more political quicker.
Hmm.
And first of all, if people listen in to me, you know, I am not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm just Vern Halter. And I like to listen to issues and based on the facts and things like that and make a decision. I think that's where the borough should stay.
Hmm.
And I think it's really important. If we've got isolated bonds that are going on there, like road bonds and school bonds, they're not commingled in with other ballot issues that may be state and separate ballots. I know the clerk's office for sure opposes this because it's going to cause a lot of extra work, extra money, getting the ballot machines and things like that from the state at the same day they're doing their elections.
Oh, that's the same machines that are used.
Yes, and so there's a lot of coordination that they fear, and rightfully so. And so I'd like to see us keep our separate elections.
Right, well, because they would potentially be at different places and
exactly.
at different times.
It's
and you'd still need the election monitors right. and things like that. That's an interesting...
Kind of a quagmire.
That's an interesting
quandary. We think about it, okay, this is just good for us, but then somebody has to do the work.
Right.
And it's that mission is our clerk's office, Matthew Burrow, and we've got great clerks. But it's, I want to see us keep our separate date.
Yeah. Well, one of the first things I learned when becoming a journalist in Alaska was there's one person, and no matter where you are, there's one person that you cannot tick off, and that is the municipal clerk, wherever you live.
I would say you're right on that one, Philip.
So those are the two issues before the borough-wide voters. The other one is annexation of East Talkeetna to the flood service area here in that currently exists in West Talkeetna, and that's limited to a very small pool of voters that live in those areas.
Yeah, they already kind of had a vote themselves, and then it was put on so that you just connect east and west, really, on a small service area.
Right. So that's less of a big issue. We will have some coverage on that here on KTNA as the election gets a little bit closer. You know, on the same token, we're talking about the moving of the election date. I feel like a lot of the motivation behind that is to help voter turnout, because Matsu Borough elections are notoriously low in voter turnout, you know, 18% on the high end a lot of the time. Is there a way that how do we go about increasing that?
Well, I guess information out to the public, getting the public interested in the, sometimes, maybe people don't vote at the level they should. You don't know really what the reason is, but I still do not think that's a total reason to mix with the state. Naturally, I think when you have a national election with the state election, the numbers go up too.
Sure.
I mean, so that's a natural reaction. So I still think we should keep our own separate election date. It's just important to have our issues heard and saw, and people come out and vote for the individual people that are running for assembly, bond issues and things like that.
Okay, great. Well, we've got about 20 minutes left in the show, so still plenty of time if anybody else wants to call in. The number is 733-1200, or you can send an email to dj@ktna.org. My guest is Vern Halter, who is currently on the borough assembly and running for borough mayor. So to talk a little bit more about things that have been happening recently, discussions recently in the assembly, there has been some discussion, a lot of it started by Jim Sykes out of District 1, about diversifying borough revenue streams. You mentioned that at the state level, but that conversation has happened to some extent on the borough level too. Is there a need to diversify revenue streams away from primarily property taxes? I know you talked about Port McKenzie you know, mm-hmm. once that's developed, potentially right. being a means for that. But you also said it's a slow process. So in the meantime, is there a need for that, or are things proceeding pretty well at this point in your eyes?
Well, the legislation that Mr. Sykes brought forward, he called it diversification, but he was trying to revoke the
permanent registration.
Permanent registration on 8-year-old, and that didn't go over very well because, you know, quite honestly, it had just passed and it had a 3-year.
There's already a sunset.
Sunset on mm-hmm. it, so. So there was a lot of people come in and testify just the opposite of to what Mr. Sykes wanted. So, you know, really there was a good argument when the thing was passed that it would affect our local road service areas and would affect the rural ones more than the core area ones. Mm-hmm. So that was a good argument when it was originally voted on. But to reverse it, I don't think, or to even bring the new legislation in wasn't a good time. Sales tax was on the ballot 6 years ago when I ran for assembly mm-hmm. myself, and it went down fairly with fairly big numbers. Of course, the city of Wasilla has a sales tax,
right.
and they do quite well with it. You know, they've been able to fund their new library. They add a sales right. tax, and they add a percentage to build certain projects. Anchorage has done it with their bed tax. They built a Denana Convention Center with a – they went from, I think it was 6 or 7% to 12% on their bed tax to build that specific project so that you can do things like that. We are kind of like sales tax borough-wide. We've talked about seasonal sales tax to capture, you know, new people coming into the state during the summer months and tourism. We haven't put that in front of the voters. We haven't put a sales tax in front of the voters since the 6 year ago, 6 years ago. We're really kind of locked in. Our property taxes are based on residential. The school board did kind of a quick study on these 600 new students, and they had a chance, I think it was at Teeland, they had a chance to talk to some of the new parents and things like that that were moving here. The reason they were moving here was reasonably priced housing. So our average priced house in the borough is $218,000. And property tax is based on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have a lot of commercial, which, like we were talking about with the port, we try to push that way, but that does take a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be based on, and then, of course, there's always a debate about assessed values.
Right.
You know how that goes, you know, because assessed values by state law are supposed to be as close to fair market value as you possibly could get. So, and then all of a sudden you'll see certain areas, after a few years, they reassess those areas, and of course,
like Talkeetna. Talkeetna experienced that this year.
And Willow was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And 3 or 4 years ago was Butte and things like that. So it kind of goes in those. And then it's just like, holy smokes. You know, look at this. My property is appraised at 45, and this year it's 55 or mm-hmm. 58, you know, and it's kind of a shocker.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit with the time we got left. Let's talk specifically about some Upper Valley issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you touched on a little bit with talking about trying to capture tourist dollars, essentially, and right now the mechanism for that in the borough is the bed tax, and the way that works right now is a lot of that ends up going back into tourism investment. There's a
right.
you know, the new visitor center that the Mattsu CVB has been working on, and there are a lot of folks in this area who would like to see a way that some of that money, which largely comes from the Upper Valley, finds its way back here. Is there a feasible way to make that happen without some sort of new layer of taxes?
Well, you'd have to, it wouldn't be a new layer. You'd have to increase, right now the percentage on the bed tax is 5%. You'd mm-hmm. have to increase the 8%, whatever. You know, at 5%, we're producing about $1 million to $1.2 million revenue total, which is, it's quite a chunk of money, but it's not that much
in the larger scheme. Yeah.
Then we have a 3-year contract with the Mattsu CVB. It's 65-35. They're receiving 65% to fund all of their advertising mm-hmm. and things like that. And to, when you think about tourism, you're trying to match up against Florida and California and the Grand Canyon mm-hmm. and all of these other destinations and all these other states that are marketing just as crazy as we are. And so we have the Alaska trying to market itself. And then we have the Mattsu CVB trying to compete against Anchorage, Kenai,
sure.
North Star, mm-hmm. Burrow. You know what I mean? That's their mission, is to return the tourists to Talkeetna. And I think they've done a marvelous job of marketing Talkeetna, the Mattsu CVB, and the local businesses, because this is now, you know, a destination. It's incredible to see the numbers of buses and trains and tourists coming here.
Right.
And then the other 35%, of course, you talk about $300,000-$400,000.
That ends up in the general fund?
No. Well, I guess basically it's kind of earmarked through the community development department, and we've been trying to do double vault toilets, and we've been trying to do projects.
Okay.
We've been trying to do trailheads, and we've been trying to do... But you can imagine $300,000 kind of spread out over the borough. It's like, you know, it doesn't go very far.
Right.
And,
okay.
You know, some of that money, you know, you try to put into parks, you know, the downtown park here and things like that. You kind of spread it out. Quite honestly, I don't know really how much of the bed tax comes from the Northern Valley, but we always hear a great percentage. You know, they never quite
break
it down.
Well, you've got the two big lodges here. Right, I think it's going to generate a lot of that.
And then Trapper Creek, our friends across the road, you know, they're the closest to that side.
McKinley Princess is technically part of Trapper Creek.
That's correct. So we got to, you always got some, you know, so I don't know. I don't. You know, for the bed tax to go up, I think you'd want to see the Mat-Su CVB talk to their clientele and talk to the tourist industry and propose that. I wouldn't want to sit as an assembly member or mayor and say, all right, we're going to raise the bed tax, because that should come, because they're the only industry in the state of Alaska that taxes themselves. Really, you know, the gravel industry, they oppose the taxation on their gravel products and things like that. So the Mat-Su CVB... the bed tax taxes that industry, so a tax raise should come through them.
Okay,
if they want to use it for something and they need more money and they think it'll benefit tourism, that would be where I'd like to see it come from.
Okay, well, we do still have time if anybody is looking to call in, and the number is 733-1200 to join the conversation with Vern Halter, who is running for Mat-Su Borough Mayor and currently sits on the assembly. One more topic I definitely want to make sure we get to is Talkeetna Sewer and Water. It's a system that is currently in the red. There's a five-year system of rate hikes that's been proposed to get it back into the black. Right now, we're looking at a system that operationally is having some trouble. For the past 2 months, at least the past 2 months, but 2 months for sure that I'm aware of, you know, it's been out of compliance. Same thing happened this time last year for fecal coliform, dissolved oxygen, things like that, the metrics that they're required to have for the DEC permit. And there's no capital reserve, there's no money right now for it. So what's the plan going forward? Because it's the borough operated utility.
Well, it's the operating. You're talking about the operating budget versus the capital budget. The operating the operating budget is that 5-year rate increase that was based on a study that was done at the request of Talkeetna,
with state funding. Yeah,
with state funding, and so that'll try to correct that operating budget and get it back into the black. And then you're trying to build your reserves so at least you have money to fix daily repairs if they pop up, and you know. Quite honestly, the bright spot in the whole thing right now is our new director of public works, Terry Dolan. He's just the type of individual. I think Whitney Wolf, who's on the Trapper Creek Community Council, even mentioned it at a community council.
Talkeetna.
What am I thinking about here? And on Talkeetna, and mentioned that he was a lot easier to work with, and I think he generally has the community at interest. You know, the capital side of the Talkeetna Sewer and Water, where you got to fix like the lagoon and you have to fix all of this huge capital infrastructure, where that money's going to come from is that is the real central issue. It's, you know, we've had a lot of federal grants. They seem to have been drying up over the last few years, and of course the state money is really, you know, the state did a study on it, and it'll be interesting to see the two gentlemen that sponsored that, where they are when they're down in Juneau this year. I certainly will be asking them, you know, and because you can't hide from big product, you know, problems like this, because they're not going to go away. They're just going to get worse if you hide from them. See that?
Well, in a town like this where you've got 200,000-300,000 visitors coming through every year. And,
right. This idea just cut, you know, to me, that's not just a totally sound way to go forward. We have to offset whatever we lost in oil revenue some other way. And make sure that our infrastructure, like the Talkeetna Sewer and Water, is able to improve itself. Otherwise, it's going to be a disaster. Okay. Otherwise, DEC is going to step in. And then, you know.
Right. Well, right now, I know DEC is aware of the issue, but they're basically saying that since the borough is making efforts to try to make it better, that they're not escalating the...
I really have confidence in Terry Dolan. I mean, I really think he could. I mean, he's got to have the money and infrastructure to do it. He needed the rate increase. mm-hmm. and to work this thing back into a better situation financially.
Right. So we do have a caller on the line, I believe. Paul, are you there?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
Vern, you talk a lot about improvements and projects. I'm wondering, and I know you've voted for a lot of projects. I'm wondering if there was any bill that came across your desk any funding bill that you didn't like or voted against a funding bill, and what was it?
Well, the most recent one was the sale of the ferry. I didn't like, we had the buyer was going to give us...
Hang on, Vern. I think we're actually getting our emergency alert system going through right now, so we'll take a pause here. All right, I think our emergency alert test is, you never know exactly when those are going to come through. So sorry, you got interrupted there, but the sale of the ferry.
Right, to answer the gentleman's question was the most recent one was like on the ferry sale that was presented to us just last week, the buyer was going to front $250,000 to the Mat-Su Borough along with another $750,000 as down payment, but the $250,000 was specifically to be matched up and use our insurance to repair the ferries. The problem, as I saw it, was if the federal government doesn't approve the sale, mm-hmm. we had to refund the $250,000, so that'd have to come out of the borough general fund. And so I was one of the few that voted against that. I thought, wait till you get the approval before you take the $250,000, because you might have to pay it back.
Okay.
There's been several big projects that I looked at very carefully as far as funding. The biggest project, the Talkeetna Library up here, the state was in there for about $2.8 million, the borough $1.4 million, Rasmussen $700,000. So there was a mix of partnerships and monies. So I strongly supported that, and we've got a beautiful facility here in Talkeetna, that the community council can use, and of course it's a great library. The old library was just...
It was very hard to attend community council meetings in that building.
It was well used, and it was old. And so...
old railroad building, I think that was, an old section house. So, okay, well, thank you for the call, Paul. We do have a little bit more time. We probably do have time to take another caller if anybody else wants in. 733-1200 or dj@ktna.org. So since we do have a few minutes left, I'll give you an opportunity here to talk about it. Do you have campaign website? How do people get a hold of you if they want to ask additional questions?
Well, we do have a website. You could just Google Vern Halter for Mayor .com and it should come up. There's a Facebook matching page that goes along with it. We try to keep daily things up. I did want to mention before I close though, Trapper Creek. We've been working on just a little community project over. This gentleman was calling about money. A little community project. They actually brought one of the old buildings over here from Talkeetna that was used for a school building. And we've got that mounted. We've got about $100,000, and we're trying to build a whole new community center, basically for $100,000, another building with new siding, new windows and doors. And I just want to thank the Trapper Creek Community Council for working so hard on it so diligently. And, it won't be like the library here in Talkeetna or anything like that, but it's going to be a great asset for the community of Trapper Creek. And I've tried to fund that a little bit along the way to make sure they've got the money to, because every community is growing. And it's nice to have a place for the community to go and meet. Yeah, and I think that's half the battle. Mm. So, and I think we just funded a thing up in Petersville for, they bought a little piece of land so they could put a warm cold storage in for safety machines, snow machines, and things if somebody gets in an accident
for
up there.
Search and rescue,
Search and rescue. Every year somebody gets hurt bad up in the Petersville Hills.
Seems that way.
And we just, I think a month ago, we just got that passed so that they could have a place like that. And, trails up here, I always like to see some grooming money coming down so we could groom some of the East-West Expressway over on the other side of the highway and things like that, trail grooming and things like that. They're small things, but they're important things. Hmm. The parks here in Talkeetna, same thing. And, I think a lot of times little things are more important than all these. We're talking about the Kinnickahn Bridge. It is not the mission of the Mat-Su Borough to build the Kinnickahn Bridge. I mean, when we start thinking about it, we send a letter in our support, that's fine. But we should think more about schools, communities, roads, the local needs, and whether these big things that seem to get us get us in trouble. You know, I support the Kinnickarn Bridge, but that's not the mission of the Mat-Su Borough. Mm-hmm. Really. Okay.
So you do have, regardless of the outcome of the election, you have a couple of assembly meetings remaining. Or a handful here. So is there anything coming up or any plans to introduce anything else in your remaining tenure as a Mat-Su Borough Assembly member?
Well, I don't have anything that's striking. You know, one of the big issues that was taxation of vapor cigarettes was mm-hmm. just on the agenda last week. I supported that and helped override the veto. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really, if you look at the numbers and the statistics going on in schools, and it's just another way of delivering nicotine into the human body. Mm-hmm. And you know, some of the business owners that came in and said it's going to hurt our businesses of things like that, this would be a 55%, it'd be the same as cigarette tax. It's just mm-hmm. an add-on to cigarette taxes and cigars and snuff and things like
basically
that.
Basically adding that additional category.
Right, exactly. So, but when you really look at the statistics, it's pretty dramatic about youth because mm-hmm. it looks kind of glamorous. You know, you're not really smoking, but you got this nice little pipe or something. So it looks very glamorous. Mm-hmm. But the same thing, it's a delivery system for nicotine. So that was recently passed. That's really not a revenue source. That's more of a health, the okay. Mat-Su Health Foundation, the Lung Association, everybody, anything to do with the medical community came in to testify in favor of taxing that.
Right. Well, you know, you bring that up, and it brings to mind, and unfortunately, we don't have much time to discuss it, but, you know, there's a growing issue in Anchorage, specifically of use of spice, synthetic right. marijuana. There's also nationwide, and as well as in Alaska, a growing heroin problem. The Mat-Su Borough doesn't have police power at this point. It's a second-class borough. Do you see, either through additional growth or even at the level it's at now, do you see a path or a way or a reason for the Mat-Su Borough to become a first-class borough and take on police power?
Well, imagine as you grow, you know, the cities, City of Houston, Palmer, and Wasilla have police powers. The only police power we've exercised since I've been on the assembly is we funded $150,000 for SART, which is Sexual Assault Response, mm-hmm. so that victims of rape could have their evidence collection right here in the
Get
valley through our hospitals. Otherwise, in the past, they were being transported into Anchorage, which is kind of demeaning. First of all, it's a demeaning process to start with, and mm-hmm. then you add on that we got to go another 100 miles round trip just to, and that was vetoed by the current mayor. That would never happen under my watch, because that's just a critical piece of public safety. One little thing, I mean, really one little thing that the Mat-Su Borough could do for domestic violence. We have a huge rate of domestic violence in the Mat-Su Borough, and so. I don't know if we need to go to the next step to be bigger and better. You know, when the opportunity comes along to support little things that really affect people, you could bet I'll be voting on those in favor of the right thing to do.
Okay. Well, that is just about all the time we've got today for Sioux Valley Voice. My guest has been current Borough Assembly member and mayoral candidate Vern Halter. If you missed part of the show or want to listen again, Sioux Valley Voice will be rebroadcasting tonight at 7 p.m., or you can listen online anytime at ktna.org. Join us next week when my guests will be Borough Assembly candidates Randall Kowalki and Doyle Holmes. I'm Philip Manning. Thanks for listening.